It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I pray this morning that you listen to what the Holy Spirit would speak to you. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Lord desires to speak to you this morning. Please hear what He says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, picking up at verse number 12. The Word of the Lord says, "For we commended not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." Some folks are just going to look at the appearance, and some folks are going to be concerned with how you really are. "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Whether I have a jumping, shouting fit, it's to God. And when I speak with understanding, it's for your cause. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, ye now henceforth know Him no more." We don't know Christ in the flesh, is what Paul's saying. He's saying Christ is dead and we need to be dead with Him. Therefore, verse number 17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The thought that the Lord gave me, and I really want you to hear it, is you are not what you did, but you are what you're doing. Make no mistakes about that. Make no mistakes about that. You are not what you did, but you are exactly what you're doing. If you're living a godly life, then you're a godly person. If you're living a life to disobedience, you're a disobedient person. If you're living a life of repentance, when you find out and you hear what's going on and the Lord convicts you, then that's what you are. You're a repentant person going after the things of God, and I want you to bear that in mind. I think today that there's too many people who are constantly haunted by their past, who constantly visits the thing that they gave God, who entertains thoughts that, well, that's the way it's always been, that's the way it's always going to be. Can I tell you, if you think that way, yes it is. What you are doing is exactly what you are. You are what you're doing. Can I tell you, everyone sitting in this room right now, you are guilty of every sin that you've ever committed. You're guilty. When Satan comes up and says that you did this or you did that, you can be in full agreement with him. Yes, I did. But what did you do about that sin? Did you repent of it? Did you turn away from it? That's what repentance is. Repentance is not being sorry. Are you sorry for the sin? Have you repented and turned away from it? And if you have, if you've asked God forgiveness and God forgive you and He takes it away, why do you want to go back to it again? It is a bondage for you that you continually walk in. That song just amazes me every time I hear it. I'm sorry for the things that I made, the things of God. We take them and make the wonderful things that God gives us things of contention, things of strife. We forget so quickly what the Lord has said when He said, "I forgive you." If God forgives you and He don't hold it against you, who is anyone else to do that? But until you receive that in your spirit and you will stand and declare that, "Yeah, I did do that, but that's not me anymore," you'll never be able to overcome it. You'll never be able to leave it behind. We've all had a list of the things that, and we don't mind going through the big ones. Theft, rape, murder, drinking, drugs, alcohol, all of this. We don't mind going through them. And sometimes we don't even mind venturing over into the little white lie that we tell just to get out of trouble. We don't mind going there. But can I tell you, God also wants to deliver you from pride. God also wants to deliver you from headiness and high-minded. Because a lot of us will never be able to receive the things from God because it don't come in the package that we think it ought to be in. Who would have ever believed in Noah's day? What do you mean a flood of water coming down from the sky? I've never seen that. Therefore, it's not going to happen. Guess what? What do you mean a Christ is going to come and He's going to be a lowly person? He's not going to be one that is going to just overrun Rome and make us something great so everybody can see us. I've never seen that. Therefore, He can't be. Matter of fact, one of His followers said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Do you know what his background is? Do you know what denomination he is? How can anything good come? He's a Nazarene. Prejudiced. How can we be called the people of God and say we love God whom we've never seen if we can't love our fellow man who we have seen? Believe that's Scripture. If we're doing these things, that's what we are. If I look at you because your background is different from mine and I think less of you, brother, because your background is different from mine from some heathen raising that I got when I was little, I'm not very godlike. I need to make a change. And it is that simple. You are what you are doing. And you can change that. We have to have love for one another. Should I treat you better because you fit what my description is? But you don't have a tie on, therefore I need to treat you differently. Should that be? Some folks are going to look out on the appearance. But God is interested in the inside. Why? There's so much in that parable when Jesus said, what did He tell us? Clean up the outside of the cup first? I don't know if any of y'all ever washed dishes in here. Nobody got dishwashers anymore, but that's almost a thing of the past. But when you wash dishes, I just about can't understand how you can get the inside of the cup clean and the outside don't come clean. It kind of works hand in hand. That's why Jesus said, if you will just work on the inside, He'll work on the outside. He'll start to make that difference. The Apostle Paul was one who was set up to be the greatest that there's ever been. I'll give you his scripture. In Acts and in Philippians, he said, "Verily, I am a man, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicily, yet brought up in the city under the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the perfect manner of law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, he was blameless." He followed the law to a T, completely, totally blameless. Had all of the wisdom and had all of the knowledge that he needed. And I know folks say, "Well, I don't see how anybody can do this." If you'll think, Jesus met a man, the rich young ruler, come up and asked him, said, "How do I get your kingdom?" He said, "Well, you know what the commandments are." And he named a few of them. He said, "I've kept them from my youth up. It's easy to keep some of the commandments, right?" But Jesus said, "Okay, we got the outside strained up, now let's get on the inside. One thing that you like. You got a problem with your money, young man. All of your money and everything about you is about you and nobody else." He said, "Go, sell what you have, give to the poor." Is that what he said? "Then you will have what? Treasures in heaven." And Jesus knew exactly how to touch the point of what he was doing inside to the point that it says, and he went away sad. Now, I know a lot of preachers put him in hell, but I don't have the authority to do that. I've walked away from some teachings and some preachings that God has given me very sad. But I tell you what, I'm not going to hell. I walked away sad. I thought about the thing. I thought the thing over. I mourned it over, and I had to do some changing. We can't say whether somebody is going to hell or not. We don't have that authority. I don't make that judgment. The Apostle Paul was the top of his game, I guess you could say. He knew all about everything that needed to be done. He knew God inside and out, and if there was going to be a move of God, he would know about it. But something happened. Paul said in Acts again, he said, he made havoc of the church, entering into the house and hauling men and women away and committing them to prison. In chapter 26, verse 9, he said, I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Can you believe that's in there? Can you believe that a man would say, you know, I just thought myself, I'm not going to do that. Has any of us been there? I just ain't, no. I just ain't going to do it. I'm going to be contrary to it. I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what it tells me to. Paul decided he was going to put a stop to what wasn't his perception of the move of God. His teacher, now, I don't know, I've got some old Jewish books, one by, I believe it's Rabbi Hammond. He speaks about the life of the Apostle Paul. And you know what was so sweet, and we don't really pull this out of the Bible, we've got to get into some Jewish history to know this, but Paul and Gamaliel had such a relationship, almost as a father-son relationship. And he told him, he said, Paul, stop. You've got to quit this. Even in the Sanhedrin, what was the response that was made? If it's of God, you ain't going to stop it. And if it's not of God, it's not going to amount to anything. But Paul was determined that he was going to put an end to it because it was not the way that he thought it would be. It was threatening his desire to build his own reputation, to build his own empire. It was threatening where he was headed. Now, I don't know, last night this really just blew my mind, and you, it may be common knowledge, but I mean, this just hit me. I mean, Vicky about knocked me out of my chair. With him being where he was at, and knowing everything that went on in the temple, can we agree on that? I mean, if he's a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he's headed for the Sanhedrin to be one of the high priests, which goes in, he was so good that usually you had to be born in the family to get it, he was going to be inducted in. Because he was under the best teaching at the feet of Gamaliel. So he knows what's going on, right? I can't help but believe that the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at the time, was present at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He's seen an end put to it. And now not only is the end of the man, I'm going to put an end to the movement. Well, you can't tie up the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You can't stop it. All you're going to do is get madder and meaner and more aggravated just like he did. He was so bent on putting them to it. And everywhere he would go, can you imagine? He would go here and there would be the movement of God. And he would go here and there would be the movement of God. And he would relinquish back to his teacher who he gave so much honor to. And he's telling him, and the Jewish historian wrote that he actually told Paul, he said, Paul, get away from me. Nothing I've taught you have you learned. All of these years together, all that I taught you about God, you've become so blind you can't even see Him. It's kind of like when a president went out to the head to, I believe it was the Grand Canyon, and they were going to give a speech on the national parks, and this certain president decided, well, in order for everybody to see all of the greatness behind me, let's cut down this forest. So they cut down the whole hillside so you can see the mountain behind them. And sometimes that's the way we are. We can't see the forest because all the trees are in the way. We can't enjoy the things of God because the things of God are in the way. And Paul decided and desired so that he could just put a complete and total end to this through his arrogancy in the fact that there's no way that he could be wrong. There's no way. He's made the decisions. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. But we also know that on the way to Damascus, and really this is what opened up that whole thing. Him seeing Jesus crucified when he was knocked off of his horse and he's down on the ground blind. And he said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And what did he respond? I am Jesus. Can you imagine Paul on that ground sitting there saying, no, wait a minute, Jesus is dead. You can't be Jesus. This whole thing can't be the truth. It can't be there because I've seen you die. I know they put you away. How can you this many years later knock me off of my horse and set me in a new direction of everything that I've learned, everything that I've been told? How in the world can this be Jesus of Nazareth? But if he says he's Jesus, and I'm looking at him, and he looks like Jesus, there must be a point there. And what was the next words out of his mouth? Lord, what must I do? And if we, in America, it's hard. It is hard, regardless of what people say, to really get down to the truth. It is hard to find somebody who hasn't heard the name Jesus. They may deny it. I tell people, they say, I don't believe in none of that. I don't believe in it because this, this, and this, and I've researched. I say, look, if you really don't believe in Jesus, why are you spending all your time to prove him that he's not there? Apparently, there's something there dealing with you. Apparently, there's a reason. Paul said, what must I do? And he changed like that. We need to have some changes in our life. Now, can you imagine here, if you knew somebody in Louisville that was going around and he was locking up everybody who went to church with the government's approval. I mean, he locked up everybody. And you are sitting here and he comes walking up in the pulpit. How many of you is going to be glad to see him? But he began to talk of the things of God and they said, is not this Saul? Isn't this the man that was causing us so much problem? Can I tell you, in your life, you might have caused some problems. There might have been some things. But those are the things you've done, and you're not that. You're no longer that. You're not weak. You're not destitute. You're not spiritually corrupt. You are not without. You have an all-exclusive invitation to all of the rights of the kingdom of God. All it takes is crying out to God. I know we said, well, if I give to God, if I give over to Him, I've got to. Well, if you already have that in your mind and you already have that in your prayer, apparently the Holy Spirit is already speaking to you. What is holding you back? Look. Christ said Himself, you're not going to lose family that He's not going to give you. You may go through some tough times, but you keep following God. There's going to be some separation. I don't mind putting this on tape. I'm just going to tell you how it is, okay? I'm just going to tell you. Give you the example. You know what, brother? My mother's in the hospital this week. You know when I found about it? When I seen one of her friends this morning. Oh, shouldn't I just be broken down? Shouldn't I be just totally... No, these things are going to happen. But I know by the promise of God, I know that things are going to come back. It took me years of praying and years of wondering when anybody in my family is going to come to church. But I got one, Joe. Bless God, there's one coming. Hold on to your hope. Don't let your past make you bankrupt of the things that God has instilled in you. I don't care how mean they are. I don't care what kind of rascal they are. They'll come to the house of God. He said, I'll call them in. But all Satan wants to do is tell you all about all of your past. Because if he can get me to live in my past, there's no future for her to come in. There's no future for Sam to come in. or Joey or Kenny or anybody else that I've ever witnessed to. I'll shut my mouth, I'll sit in the pew, and I'll just hold on to my songbook. I'll sing when they say sing, I'll go home when they say go home, and I'll not get involved in it because it's too hurtful. You are not your past. Let it go. Jesus went through the pain of the cross and the deliverance of the blood for that very reason, so that you can let it go and walk free. His desire is to deliver you from everything. And I know how your flesh wells up in you and it makes you want to buck against the things of God. But let me tell you this one thing. God has not appointed you to such. He's appointed us to peace and to love, to care. What will my friends think? Let me ask you this. When you go to court, are you worried about what your friends say, or are you worried about what the judge is going to say? Oh, but son, it don't matter what my friends say anymore. The important thing is what the judge is going to say. And how crazy would it be for me to go to court and pay a $1,500 fine when the judge says, I don't even understand why you have to go through this, when he said he'd pay for it. And I come to church and I say, Rick, I got caught. And there's a $1,500 fine. But there was some guy going to pay. And I said, no. I did it. I might as well just keep on. I don't care if you're going to pay for it. Does that make sense? We need to accept what God has given us. Paul said, all of this great knowledge I have, everything that they promised me, all of the titles, all of the temple, everything, I have to count it but dung that I may win His excellency. You know what his friends wanted from him? They wanted to put him in jail. You know what they said? The very ones that he said, scoot over, brother. Let's have a seat. Very ones that we sat right here and said, this Jesus, we're going to do away with him. Let's kill him. What do you think? Paul has consented to the stoning of Stephen. Let's get rid of him too. Sit right there. Get rid of them all. Let's get rid of them. So Paul's up here now, and he's talking about Jesus. And you know what they're saying to each other? We're going to have to kill him. Some of your friends, some of your family, they're going to want to kill you and lay you away. They're going to say you lost your mind. They're going to say all kinds of crazy things about it, won't they? There's a song at the Isaacs has. Who's going to sing a song when I'm gone? Who'll sing for me? I don't know if any of them will, sis, but somebody will. Brian, that's what I'm counting on, is one. Just one. If I can affect one life, it's worth all of the years of shut-out isolation. Rick, let me tell you what, brother. I made a bunch of dumb, stupid decisions in my day. I made a bunch of mistakes. But by the grace of the cross, He took all of my junk and nailed it up there. But I don't have to carry it no more. I don't have to live in that. I don't have to say, well, last time I tried that, this is what happened. I got up and I was determined that I'm going to walk in a new direction. I became what I'm doing. I became what I'm doing in that I become what I'm doing when I repent. When I repent, I'm turning away from it. I'm seeking God. But if all I do is keep my face pointed in my past, wondering how can it happen? I know it can't. Let me tell you what. You don't know nothing if you know you can't be forgiven. You don't know nothing if you think that you can't totally just walk new. I'm telling you, I am one of them. Oh, I had to pack my past around with me for a while, Vicky, until I heard a man praying and I heard a man preaching one day, Brother Ray, and you know what he told me? He said, you know what? That little cage you got on your back prophesied to me something wonderful. Nobody knew I had it. You couldn't even see it. But that little cage that you got on your back and you keep dropping people into, it's getting so heavy you can't carry it anymore. And you know what? He was right. I was drooped over spiritually. I was burdened down. I couldn't pack it because I had to worry about this. and I had to worry about that, and I had to worry about this, and my goodness, what happened? I'm just going to put it out here honest. God, what do you mean, preach? You know what kind of mouth I have? What if I got up inside the pulpit and all that old language come out? What if the ministers heard and found out about my past? It don't matter, because it's all under the blood. And we need to realize that when God puts it under the blood, when them words escape out of your mouth, Joan, I don't care if you jump up and down, shout hallelujah. I don't care if you cry a river of tears. I don't care if you don't do nothing but say, oh Lord, it's me, Joan, forgive me, and get up and go back to your seat. That's all it takes, is your heart ready to receive from God. Give me a song. Now is the time. Right now. If you need to pray, come now. If your past has been burning you, come now. If you want to make a change, come now. I know this is strange in the middle of a message heaven. This is the time the Lord said He would trouble it. If you need it, if your past is haunting you, if you've just been missing the direction of God, if you want, God said He'll meet His people this morning. He will meet with you. And all of that stuff you've been carrying, He said, give it to me. Why? Because I care for you. He is going to make a difference in some lives. If the Lord spoke to you, here's your time. Well, I can pray right here. Yes, I know there's something about praying right here, but there's something else that He said, come. Come. I don't care if it's a past of this one or of that one or your own. God said He'll take it today. He will take it today. He's going to make a difference in your life from this day forward, brother. There is an anointing up here that is so thick, folks. And those of you who don't feel to come and pray, if you would, stretch your hands forward and pray for these sitting here. If the Lord hadn't spoke to you, stretch your hands forward and pray that all of the Satan is just going crazy, folks, because these people are going to get the changes in their life and they want to knock it away. But He will make a difference in you. Now is your time. Your heart is broken for a reason. You feel that pounding in there. You feel that rush. I need to do something, but I can't get up because I feel like lead. I'm telling you, now is the time. Break that chain. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. I'll pray with you. I'll help you. If you can't walk, raise your hand. I'll come and I'll escort you. Come to Him, brother. Come to Him. Make that step. Bless your heart, brother.